This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. So I just got back from Singapore because Google held its third annual invitation-only event for top apps and game developers from Southeast Asia. I managed to get myself an entry thanks to Google Malaysia. Now, whoever that said that apps are dead and it's a thing of the past, they are clearly lying. James Sanders, the regional director for Google Play Asia Pacific, he kicked things off and he gave an overview of Google's commitment to growing the developers ecosystem here in the region. Google Play, as an app store, now crosses into multiple different platforms. It's not just phones, but smart devices like your watches, VR devices like Google's Daydream, in your home, and of course, automobiles with Android Auto. That means you have a lot more users accessing the store from multiple devices and platforms.
Now, each day, Android devices around the world, each day we activate or users activate another 1.5 million Android devices around the world. And as more and more devices get activated, that means there are more and more total Android users. Today, as you can see on the screen, there are more than 2 billion active Android devices in the world, and that number's obviously growing very fast.
That was James Sanders, the regional director for Google Play Asia Pacific. So he gave an overview of what's been happening with Google Play, and with those kind of numbers, 2 billion active users, that's nearly a third of the world's population. You can see why apps isn't a thing of the past. Yes, it may be a lot more crowded than ever before, but the market keeps growing too. And to prove that, they brought some of the best mobile game developers on stage. So next up, you'll be hearing from Howard Goh of Mochi Bits. It's a two-man team that has been developing games since 2010. Initially, they started in the word game category, and they're now expanding into the brain training market and the .io space.
Hi, good morning. My name is Howard. I am co-founder and game developer in Mochi Bits. Mochi Bits has been around for around 6-7 years. It's a two-man team for most of the 6 years, and it's only recently we brought in a third guy. So when we started out around 7 years ago, my business partner was based in Cebu, I was based in Manila. We ended up meeting because of our wives, and we wanted to leave the corporate world, and we became so close talking about plans for the future that our wives called our relationship a bromance. And we knew that we wanted to do something for ourselves, and that was around the start of the App Store boom. This was in 2010, and we decided to make a game. And we made a game that became a hit because it got featured, but it was a hit for 1 month, and after that, it practically died. So we wanted to make a game that had a longer life, and we did some research, and we found out games with a long life were usually word games. So we made our first word game in 2011. It was called Word to Word, and it did very well. This is in the other app store because the Google Play Store is not yet mature. And when we made this game, it did so well, we decided to continue it with another word game and another word game and another word game. We actually made 11 word games, and 6 of them did very well. Around this time, the Google Play Store became more mature, and we started porting the games to Android. Unfortunately, our mistake was we treated it like the Android store, like a iOS store, and it didn't do that well. And we were fortunate when we tried to improve the games, we moved to another game that was a flop. Okay, I want to talk about this flop. It was a word game of sorts. It was called Left versus Right, a brain training game. Most of our games were for middle-aged women, usually 30 all the way up to 60. We even had 70, but a lot were in age 40, 50. A lot of mothers and grandmothers also. And we noticed that they liked our games. They spent money on our games. But we couldn't seem to hit the market in Android. Now, this game, we eventually made it a success. We flipped it. From a word game, we decided to make it a brain training game because it had a lot of downloads, but it just wasn't making money. So we changed it to a brain training game, and it did very well. Around this time, we had a relationship with Google through our business dev partner. And he told us what we did wrong basically with Android, how to use the A-B testing, improve the store listing. And we followed all of these rules. And when we released this in Android, it became such a hit. It actually beat the revenue and the downloads in the other store. Within 1 year, it actually did better than a game that was around for around 2-3 years in the other store. And we actually improved it further, again by the advice from our Google business dev partner, on how to improve it using A-B testing. And we actually changed the look completely. And actually, that's the shirt here. And we changed the look. It was more fun. The downloads increased by around 3 to 4 times. We localized it, and the revenue improved by around, 4 or 5 times. Here I notice a very interesting trend. At first, we thought when we localized it, we would see revenue in other countries that don't speak English. But what was surprising is it made a lot of money and got a lot of downloads in America. And it's largely because of migration is happening everywhere now. So languages are not for a country, it's for cultures. And cultures can be anywhere. And so the revenue improved in amazing ways. And because of that, we decided, instead of focusing on 2 stores each time, all the time, we decided to always focus first on Google Play. With the help of our business dev partner, we actually released a game in Play first, a .io game, and it did very well. It just crossed 7 million downloads last month in the Play Store alone. And again, using A-B testing, we changed the icon, and the downloads improved over time. So each time, whenever we do an update, it's always Play first, and maybe a month later, or a few weeks later, then we do the other store. Because Play allows us to see how the users behave, how the users like it, how the users appreciate the game or don't appreciate it. The ability to give feedback to the users, reply to the reviews, helps us a lot as developers. It allows us to take certain risks and certain methods because we can respond better towards them. They have a feature that allows us to temporarily roll it out in percentages so that we can see if it's working well, if it's crashing, so we can do 10% of users will get the update, then slowly add more. And it's been very good for us. It allows us to see if there are bugs, if something's working, and it allows us to move forward. So for us now, the road ahead is basically very clear. We're going to work with Google very well. We've got a game update for both of these games coming this year. We're going to localize for more countries, add a colorblind mode for our brain trainer, localize Hexar.io for all these other countries we've been localizing for, and we've got a new game that we have planned for first quarter next year. So it's been very promising. Thank you.
Next up is Peng Yi Wei from Kurechi Studios, who are based right here in Malaysia.
So my name is Yi Wei. I'm from Malaysia. I'm the founders and directors of Kurechi. So Kurechi basically is a play over of creative and crazy. So it's like we're trying to make crazy and creative game. So we have 4 games on our Google Play Store right now. So our first game was actually King's League Odyssey. So we actually published it on back then in 2013. And then we have Cheeky Duel, and then Tiny Guardians, and recently we have launched the Post Night. So the first 3 titles was actually premium games. So, and premium games is actually, if you read about the trends, not that most people actually make free-to-play mobile games, but we started making premium games. So it's more like when we look at our strengths and compared to other people, we have less people, and then we think that our strength is actually making contents and really high quality content. So what we have is actually we are proud to say that most of our games are award-winning games, but kind of challenging to sell premium games on mobile. So, but one thing we found out when we sell premium mobile games on Play Store is actually it actually has a very good long tail, which a lot of people thought that is kind of hard to sell premium game in Play Store, but Play Store have these recommendations where, like, let's say I brought a premium games, and then very likely my friend would play premium game as well. So it actually helped us to reach out to these people compared to the other stores. So, like, for example, the first game that we published on Play Store, which is the King's League Odyssey, we still have pretty decent sales until today, so which is quite surprising. And last year, Google Play actually introduced early access, and actually it's the first year that it's the first time that actually we create free-to-play games. So it's not that we're trying to compromise because like it's the trend, but it's more like we thought that we can try to adapt and do different things. So we think that premium game is with the players that we can reach out with premium is quite limited. So why not we make different type of games that hopefully to reach out to more players and hopefully to cross promote our own game to lead them to buy our premium games. So experience with the early access last year has been very helpful to us, because first is actually our first free-to-play games. There's a lot to learn, especially as a small team that have very minimal access to all this data, how to monetize it properly and all that. But Play Store have the good tools like with built-in analytics and all that. And the cool stuff is actually to be able to get feedbacks from the players in early access time, where they really give a lot of useful information. Like, for example, one of the best-selling items, in-app purchase items, is actually suggested by the players during the early access time. So Postal is actually now is one of our most popular mobile games up to date. So we actually managed to get $1 million in the first week when we launched it. So yeah, it went pretty much it's actually surpassed our expectation as well. And now it's actually what we are trying to do is actually it's not up to a year yet, but we're trying to improve the games with all the built-in analytics tools that we have, and we do identify opportunities such as, like, we have a lot of downloads from Brazil, Russians, and then, and now we're actually doing the localizations and try to reach out more to them. So what we're trying to do now is actually we realize that it's very important to localize our content. So it's actually one of the things that we aim to have it. We try to localize all our contents in the future. And also we will still be continuing making premium and freemium titles. It's not that we are still exploring both of them, and we actually identify that there are needs for both these markets. And since we have good experience making premium games, we will be continuing working on it as well. Thank you.
Coming up after the break, you'll be hearing from Rocky Soiharo from Touchden Games about their journey. So stick around, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back with me, Jeff Sandhu. And earlier on, before the break, you heard from two very successful mobile game developers from Malaysia and Philippines. Next up is Rocky Soiharo, the co-founder of Touchden Games from Indonesia, explaining his journey into being one of the most successful mobile gaming developer in the region.
My name is Rocky. I'm from Touchden Games. We're a mobile game company based in Indonesia. We specialize in making delicious food games such as Dessert Chain and Warung Chain. So I'd like to start by sharing about the story about how we started. So, you know, we started with three brothers, actually two brothers and one cousin, fresh out of college, and we didn't know what to do with our lives. And one fine day, actually we received some ang pao money, true story, ang pao money. We received some pocket money from our dad, and we're thinking, so what do we do with the money? So here's where my brother was telling me that there's this guy who built an app that has all the farting sounds. It's all the different farting sounds. And he made a lot of money on that. And we're thinking like, oh, wow, if that guy can do that, we can do something better, right? So that's how we started building our game called Sushi Chain. So Sushi Chain is that kind of game where a customer comes in and you're serving them sushi, and you have to give them at the right time, otherwise they get mad at you, right? So we didn't know what to expect, but we were so excited about, you know, launching this game. I remember sitting with my brother in front of our computer, refreshing our developer console every minute, refresh, like, okay, how much are we doing? And, you know, I'm so glad to have the support of my mother who check in on us, knock on our door and say, hey guys, how are we doing on the downloads? And also, like, how much money have you guys made already? Even on day one, right? So, you know, like, we didn't know what to expect, but Sushi Chain turned out to be our first successful title. It went on to be top ranking in 26 countries. And the second game we made, Infinite Sky, went on to be top ranking in 40 countries. And really, who would have known that three guys from Indonesia can reach out and make an impact in a global market through games? And all of this is thanks to Google Play, whose platform allows us to easily reach out to many, many people around the world. So our journey goes on. Touchden today is the premier place for top mobile game developer talent to flourish in Indonesia. We're very glad to be working with 50 members. And while we have made strong partnerships, we've worked with even some local celebrities, we realized that our food games is still the strong backbone of our company. For example, Dessert Chain here is by far our best performing game so far in terms of user engagement and monetization. So, you know, I'm a huge believer in our mobile game industry. This industry will be a $53 billion market by the end of next year. So at the same time, I noticed that there's a lot of competition coming in, as well as the gamers themselves, they're expecting better quality games. They're expecting more from their developers. So I thought I would share a few tips for all of us, really. And the first is around women players, women gamers. So we thought, naturally, that with the kind of food games that we make, you know, a lot of our gamers are actually women. But what we didn't realize is that women gamers play just as much or even more than their male counterpart. At the same time, when you think about it, a lot of games are now targeted towards men. And so there's a huge opportunity in making games for women. The other opportunity I wanted to share is around localization. Or I'd like to bring up the word culturalization. This is the idea that beyond translating your games in terms of the language, you can also adapt and try to understand local cultures and try to adapt your game to those cultures. So this game is not yet released, but I'm so excited, really excited to bring our best performing game, Dessert Chain, for the Middle East market. And we want to celebrate the Middle East culture. We want to celebrate Middle East drinks and desserts. And so this is a big opportunity as well. If you were to tell me that at the start of us finding the company that Touch 10 would be looking into the Middle East market, I wouldn't have believed you. But this goes to show that the industry we're in is moving so fast, is changing very rapidly. It's no longer about who has the most money or who has the coolest office. I think the key to success is that how well can we understand our audience and adapt to them. Thank you very much.
There were also two more great developers, Okbi from Thailand and also Amanotes from Vietnam. A great success in their journey. You can check out their games on Google Play. It was then the Q&A session and I jumped on the mic to ask about the free and paid model of games. How do they balance the ads on free games and still get a good review and monetization? Here's what Roki of Touchton and also Yiwei of Kurechi had to say.
So I think a lot of users and the perception is that, you know, most people dislike ads. And that, you know, especially for the younger generation, the more that they don't like this, right? But I think at the same time, it's a myth. This is a myth because I think that actually people understand that when they're downloading a free game, that this is supported by ads, that developers are actually, we have to make money, otherwise then we will go bankrupt, right? So it's, I think a lot of users also understand that. That's why I'm a big believer in native ads, because people come into games and they're looking to have an immersive experience. And when they're having this immersive experience, they're actually very focused, but also very relaxed. And so that's where native ads can come in and provide some awareness, provide some exposure to brands without actually disrupting that beautiful state of like being in the zone. So that's my view.
Maybe I can share a little bit about Postnight. So what we have is actually our users ask for more ads instead of like, can you give up more ads? Because like when they watch an ad, actually they get rewarded. So when they get rewarded, actually they want more because they want more things. So we seldom get complaints about like we have too much ads because we never just prompt the ads on their face, but we have them to opt in. So we like, for example, if you want something, you want speed up, you can actually opt for watching the ad itself. So when we started, because our background was making premium games, so I don't really like all this like in-app purchase, skipping stuff and all that, because I like that core experience. But I try to make a balance between it because I try to make it in the way that I can absorb it and I would enjoy it. So the way that we do it is actually when we started, we've been very generous. You can watch as much ads as you want. You can get, as long as you watch it, you can skip the things and all that. So in the end, all players finish up all the ads and then within a day, they start complaining. So there's problem with the games. There's no more ads and all that. But it's actually, there's not because there's bugs, but it's because they finish up all the ads inventory. So what we do after that is actually we try to balance it, put some cap and all that. It actually, after that, improve the in-app purchase experience, because through the ads experience, they actually get to experience what a paid player able to experience. So they experience through the advertising, they watch ads, they get to experience that. After a while, they get to convert as well, but in the way that they actually do it willingly, so we are not forcing to do any of them. So we have players that actually don't watch any ads at all. They manage to play and finish all the game. And we also have some items that we call it like time forward rings or something like that, where you can skip through all the ads, but with limitations. So we try to cater for all kind of players, because some players, they want to have premium feeling. They do not want to watch ads. So we have this item that allow them to skip as well.
Now, if you go onto Google Play and you search for Post Nights, you'll notice a very high rating for the game, despite its huge number of downloads. It's a very rare thing to manage and difficult to get as well. So I managed to get some time with Yiwei and I asked him about what was their secret sauce in getting this very high rating on Google Play.
I think one thing that we did right is actually the balance on how we monetize the game itself, because we do it in a way that players actually find it rewarding. When they buy something, they're happy to buy it. They don't feel like they're being exploited, like, okay, you put a paywall there, I have to pay so that I have to buy. So we have players like they ask for more things to buy, they ask for more ads to watch, so that they want more content itself. So another thing is actually we constantly listen to our players. So when they have problems and all that, we try our best to solve it as soon as possible, rather than like tell it, okay, we are looking to that, and then we never look at it. So what we do is actually we look into that, we follow up to that as well. So this is something that our player like about it as well, because they felt that whatever they're trying to voice out is being listened by the developer itself. So, yeah.
And he also had some interesting points about why Malaysia is unique, especially with the upcoming Level Up 2017 happening next week.
I think one thing unique about Malaysia is actually we consume all type of content, because if you go to other specific like conference in different region, you'll see there's like certain cultural games itself is very strong. But if you come to Malaysia, you can see Asian type of games, Western type of games, Europe type of games. There's all kind of games over here. And what we're trying to showcase in Level Up KL is actually we're trying to be proud of what we have done, hoping to inspire more people to do the same. Because making games in Malaysia somehow is a bit lonely, because the industry itself is quite small, and then a lot of people doesn't understand what we are trying to do or what we've been working on. So like people have been saying, oh, you make games or you play games or you... do you just write, or what are you really do in the studio itself? So people thought games are easy to make, but like in fact, actually, there's a lot more things. So what we try to do is actually every time we make appearance in all these conferences or events, we try to not just promoting our games, also in a way that we're trying to inspire and educate people about like what's the processes. So even though it's a good time it's more like a gathering for game developers as well, because good event like this tend to have all Malaysian developers appreciate this kind of event, because it's not happened. It only happened like 3 years ago, and it's something that it's like a gathering for us, that we exchange information and like what have you done, what have you tried, so what are the things we've been pushing on. So it's also to some of us it's a milestone that we set as a due date, that we can push our game to certain polishing level so that we can showcase. So it's actually something very exciting for game developers. Yeah.
Now, I have to end the show here, but if you go on and download this podcast on the BFM app available on Google Play and iOS App Store, you'll hear my chat with Roki of Touchstone Games as I spoke to him one-on-one about what it takes to be that successful mobile gaming company. Bear in mind, his first ever game was a huge success. His second game, another success. Surely, there's a secret sauce here. So go on, download the BFM app and search for this podcast. It's called Reaching the Million Downloads Milestone on Google Play. This has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Bureaucratic failures multiply. BFM 89.9.
So hey there, if you're listening to this, that means you've downloaded the podcast. And as I mentioned on air, I managed to get some time with Roki of Touchstone Games, and I asked him about his secret sauce in making games. His first game, huge success, Sushi Chain, was top ranking in 26 countries. And the second game, Infinite Skies, top ranking in 40 countries.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of luck, but also doing the research, doing the homework, and the passion for food, right? So it's a combination of that. You know, when we were launching the game, before we launched it, we were playing around on the App Store, trying to look at games, searching on there. We love food. We look for food on there. And we, for one, were searching the keyword sushi. We saw there are some content around sushi, sushi recipe. There are some puzzle games that has a sushi theme. But none of the game actually involved making sushi, serving sushi as a food to people. And so we saw that and we were like, hey, maybe if we make a sushi game, that can be a hit, right? And so we were very lucky in that sense that when we launched the game, there are no other good games around the theme. And organically, it grew and grew. And by the end of a few months, we had a lot of gamers playing Sushi Chain.
And then I asked him about Clone Wars, not Star Wars Clone Wars, but more like the app clones. When you're a small developer, how does he manage with clones, people who develop games based on his success?
There's always a bittersweet relationship we have with clones, right? I think it's very flattering for people to follow our lead and to learn from what our mistakes and make similar games. I'm fine with that. I think how we can go ahead of that, right, is to actually better understand our audience. When we launch our latest game, Dessert Chain, for example, we had some ideas about the fact that, okay, we make a game about dessert, and this will be popular globally, but primarily among Western women. But as it turns out, we learned that Japanese and Korean audience love the game as well, and actually they're more active than the U.S. audience at the game, right? And so then what we did is to create content for the Japanese market. For example, we make desserts that has green tea in it and things like that. And these little things I think we can do to get ahead of the so-called copying, so-called clones, right? Better understanding of our audience, respecting their culture and really trying to understand that and building content that is relevant to them. This is how we can get ahead.
And being in a very crowded market, how is he pushing into more countries? So Roki talked to me about localization and here's what he had to say.
The competition is really tough, right? I mean, every day there's probably hundreds of new games being released. But you know, at the same time, the market is growing, right? I read a report that states that the mobile game industry will be a huge $53 billion industry by the end of 2018. So while the competition is tough, the market itself is actually growing. And also the gamers themselves are having better taste and they're expecting better games, right? So for us, it's key with all that in mind to identify a few key opportunities for us to focus on. And the two opportunities that we're focusing on are games for women as well as culturalization of games. So by culturalization of games is the idea of localizing games beyond translating the language. It's about trying to understand a specific culture and respectfully representing and making our game relevant to that culture. So for example, for Dessert Chain, we are going, you know, very excited to try and culturalize that for the Middle East market. It's not going to be called Dessert Chain anymore. We're still deciding on a name. But the idea is that we saw an opportunity where Middle East market countries like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, they have gamers that are thirsty for local content, but they're not enough of great quality content for them. So we're going to make games for them. We want to celebrate Middle Eastern culture and their desserts and their drinks in the game. And so that's what we're really excited about for the next year. The other one is the trend around games for women. You know, for many years, the stereotype is that gamers is this teenage boys that are not so... they're quite antisocial. They're sitting in front of their console playing games all the time. But when we look at it, the real situation is that women gamers, especially on mobile games, are just as active as men in playing games. Or if not, they're even more active. At the same time, we find that a lot of games are targeted for men. So this presents a great opportunity for developers to create game for women And you know, while we're at it, I think we should involve more women in the workforce creating great games, because if we're making a game for women, you know, my gut feel is that if we involve more top quality women developers, you know, all the better. We're going to make games that are really authentically made by women for women. So that's what we're focusing on as well.
And that's it from my trip at Google Playtime 2017. I got to say thank you to Google Malaysia again for the amazing hospitality and also the experience. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.